In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 20, he says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Jehovah my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he instructed and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the commandment went forth, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 77s are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city to finish transgressions, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the visions and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, shall be 77s, and 62 sevens are 62 sevens. And it shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 sevens shall the anointed one be cut off, and shall have nothing, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and even unto the end shall be war, desolations are determined. And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 7. And in the midst of the seven, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And upon the wings of abomination shall come one that makes desolate, and even unto the full end, and that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate." Now, as we're reading this passage of Scripture, you can see that there are several differences in the translations that you use. So we will try and clear this up as we go through this division of the 77s. Now, to get us all caught up on speed, let's look at the very first question on your study guide. Is it possible to date the year of Darius? It is possible to date the year of Darius. Now, if you remember, if the same Darius here is the same Darius of chapter 11, it will be in the third year of Cyrus, which would be somewhere around 536. Remember this, and I'll bring this back into your remembrance as we go back in when we get into chapter 10. Chapter 10, 11, and 12 is one block. Chapters 11 and 12 will deal with the vision that we see in chapter 10. So whatever, in chapter 11 it says the first year of Darius. In chapter 10 it says the third year of Cyrus. So we know if Darius in chapter 9 is the same Darius in chapter 11, then we know it's around 536. In saying that, nobody knows who this Darius is in chapter 9. There are some who say they do, but they go off the assumption of Dr. Whitcomb. And when you study his argument or his proof of facts, you will see that there are some difficulties in the things that he presents. So, going through just Cyrus's third year, Darius's first year, if the Darius of chapter 9 is the Darius of chapter 11, we know it's around 536. Now, from a biblical standpoint, we see in verse 2 that Daniel understood by the books of Jeremiah the prophet that it would be 70 years. We know that they went into Daniel, the first deportation from Jerusalem was in the year 606. Take 70 years away from 606, you have the year 536. So biblically, we can date the vision. Somewhere around 536. All right? Point two on your study guide, what do verses 1 and 2 tell us about Daniel? As I pointed out, he understood, if you'll look in verse 2, I understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of Jehovah came to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishing of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. So this tells us that Daniel not only was a Bible reader, he was a Bible believer. He understood from passages of Jeremiah 25 verses 11 and 12 and also Jeremiah 29 and verse 10 where Jeremiah clearly states that the Babylonian captivity would be 70 years. So 1 and 2 tells us that Daniel was a Bible reader, or point 2 when you study guide, Daniel was a Bible reader and Daniel was a Bible believer. Okay. As I pointed out, we're skipping verses 3 through 19. Not that there's not good stuff there. There's a lot of good things that you and I can get encouragement from and some good lessons for it. But it has nothing to do with interpreting the vision. So we pick up on point 3. Point 3 on your study guide. Why was Gabriel sent? He was sent, notice verses 20 through 23, he was sent to give Daniel understanding and wisdom concerning the vision. Understanding and wisdom concerning the vision. And I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 21, he had seen at the beginning of the vision the man Gabriel being caused to fly swiftly. So this is nothing that was to have hesitation about. Gabriel was sent swiftly to Daniel, even at the beginning of his supplications. This is where Daniel receives the vision. And that's point 4 on your study guide. What took place at the beginning of the vision? He received, at the beginning of Daniel's prayer, he receives the vision of the 77s. He receives, that's point 4 in your study guide. 70 years are up. Daniel says, we're going home. And according to Jeremiah, they were to go home. But at the beginning of his prayers, a new decree has been decreed. And notice, this decree, if you'll look at verse 24, is upon Daniel's people and upon the holy city. That would be Jerusalem. So the decree of 77s is on Daniel's people and on the holy city, which is Jerusalem. Do not miss that point. In this vision, chapter 9, in this vision of chapter 9, it will take in all the elements, and this is something I want you to remember also. It will take in all the elements that must be fulfilled up to the end of the Jewish national commonwealth. In other words, by the end of this vision, not only will the Mosaic Constitution be gone, but the Jewish National Commonwealth will be destroyed. In other words, it takes you up to 70 AD. The vision will take you up to 70 AD. Still under point 4, something else I want you to realize as we go through this. We are dealing with 70 sevens, not 70 weeks, not 70 weeks of years, not 490 years. We are dealing with 70 sevens. And that too is important because of the day for the year theory that so many come up with. Different translations will translate it differently. Some of your translations will say 70 weeks. Some of your translations will say 70 years of weeks. Some of your translations will say 490 years. Some of your translations will say 77s. And we will see by the time we get through this section that it cannot be taken literally. Okay? It is 77s. All right, point five on your study guide. The two views of the 77s. First of all, we have the chronological view. The chronological view. And this falls under two camps. It falls under the camp of the premillennialist, and it falls under the camp of those who do not believe in premillennialism, the non-millennialists. They take the idea of a year for a day. Now, in saying that in the chronological view, nobody takes it as a literal 70 weeks. Nobody. It is a chronological view in the sense of the day for the year business. And then the second view, which is the non-chronological view, or the symbolic view, which by the time this class is over with, every one of you will take this position. Or suffer my wrath. We will prove biblically that the 77s is a non-chronological view. Okay. Now, in saying that, let's go on to point six on the study guide. What are the two positions of the chronological view and the objection to each one? On the first one, we will deal with the amillennial or the non-millennial view. Okay? The non-millennial view. The decree is in the year 458. This is the decree. It runs to the cutting off of Messiah. Okay? The 458 decree comes from, Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 and following. Ezra 7, verses 1 and following. Now, in the non-chronological view, you'll see theologians like Otialis, E.J. Young, Haley's Bible Handbook, they all and others will follow this 458 decree. They say there is a decree, and from here to the Messiah, you have 7 to the rebuilding of the city, and then you have 62, which gives you a grand total of 483 years. 483 years to Messiah. If you take 458 and subtract it from 483, you come up with year 25 AD, which is about the time our Lord was immersed and began as a minister. It is in the midst of the 70th week that Messiah is cut off. His ministry was about 3.5 years. Well, now I know why we have to replace that cable all the time. Now, the objections to this view, I mean, it looks good. It looks right. It looks to the Lord's beginning of his ministry, and then the 3.5 years, and then the cutting off. objections to this view, though, there is nothing in this view that says we are to operate for a year by a year by a day, year for a day. Only two passages of Scripture, Numbers 14 and verse 34, and Ezekiel 4 and verse 6 tells us clearly that the day for a year is operative. Those are the only two places in the Bible. Numbers 14, verse 34, did I say? Yeah, 34. And Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6. So there's no proof. That's one objection. The second proof that I want you to see is that in this vision here that is taken by many in the non-millennial view, you can't get to 70 A.D. You cannot get to 70 A.D. And the vision requires that you get to 70 A.D. Also in this view, it says the first seven was to rebuild the city. That would make it somewhere around 444 B.C. Or no, it makes it around 409 B.C. Excuse me, I'm sorry. 409 B.C., which this view requires. And that conflicts with the book of Nehemiah, where the city was completed in 444 B.C. So this view requires the first seven to complete the city to be 409 B.C., which conflicts with the book of Nehemiah, which says that the city was completed in 444 B.C. Another objection to this view: there is no positive proof that we should begin with the decree of Ezra. And when you read Ezra chapter 7, you will see that the decree given in Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 and following, dealt with rebuilding the temple, not the city. If I get going too fast, just yell out. Also, the decree by Artaxerxes, or just say Xerxes, this was the decree in Ezra chapter 7. According to Isaiah chapter 44, 26 and 25 and 45 and verse 13, the decree to build the city was given by Cyrus. As Isaiah 44, 26 through 28, Isaiah 45, verse 13. The decree to build the city was by Cyrus. Any questions? Everybody understands it. See, this stuff ain't hard. Very simple. Now we want to deal with the premillennialists. All right, the decree by the premillennialists, well, I said, was what? 445 B.C. 445 B.C. All right, that's the decree by the premillennialists. They get that from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, so that's the decree to build the city. From 483, you have what? 38 AD, and the Messiah is cut off. They miss it. They miss the date of the crucifixion from which the Messiah cut off is cut off. Messiah was cut off somewhere around, what, 30 AD? 29, 30 AD. So they miss it by a week. Also, I want you to see here that they have, look at the text here. It says in verse 26, Okay, let me do this first. We have a 7, and then we have a 62. 7 weeks to build the city, 62 weeks. And then after, notice verse 26. And if there's a difference in your translation, let me know. And after the 62 in 2 weeks, or after the 62 weeks, shall the anointed one be cut off? Does anybody have a difference? Does everybody have after 62 weeks or after the 60? What you got?
After the 62 sevens.
After the 62 sevens, okay. But after the 62 sevens, Messiah is cut off. Now, why am I bringing this out? The premillennialists teach that the Messiah is cut off in the 69th week. What does Scripture say? After the 62 weeks. You have 7, and 62 is 69. It is after the 69 weeks. In other words, Messiah is cut off in the midst of the 70th week or the 70th seven. Everybody following me on this? I wish I could do a selfie, just like this, so I can get everybody's expressions. Premillennialists has Messiah cut off at the end of the 69th week. Clearly a contradiction to what the Scripture says. Does everybody see that? Somebody nod. Thank you. All right. Now, so what is this right here? That's what we want to know. This is what is taught as the church age. In other words, at the end of the 69th week, according to their doctrine, at the end of the 69th week, Messiah is cut off, God's prophetic clock stops. Now, it's important to remember at this time that the premillennialists take the position that all prophecy must be literally fulfilled. If prophecy hasn't been fulfilled in this area, it will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. Not all scripture, all prophecy must be literally fulfilled according to the premillennial. So to keep their doctrine in, they say that at the end of the 69th week, not in the midst of the 69th week, at the end of the 69th week, we have the church age. They say that the church was not predicted in the Old Testament. It was an afterthought. It was something that God put in place to take up the space after the rejection of Jesus until we have the rapture of the church, and then begins God's prophetic clock, and then we have the 70th seven. There is 3.5 years of peace. Then the Antichrist breaks the covenant. Then we have the Great Tribulation. And then Jesus comes again and sets up his 1,000-year reign. Okay? Pretty simple. That is what they teach. Sure.
If God is all-knowing, why would he have to make up a plan B for later?
Well, you know, I just don't know. I'm not going to get into their doctrine, but they say, but I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let's do this on that question. Because remember, the reason why we are studying this passage of Scripture, or studying Daniel in this sense, is for evangelistic purposes. There are a lot of good people out there who believe this stuff. Now, the premillennial view is taught hard today. David Jeremiah, if you want to pick up on him, he'll do it. Hagee will do it. Jack Van Impe. Books by Lindsay, Walver, and many, many others pick up the premillennial's teaching. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, Jesus will say unto them, "These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened up their minds that they may understand the scriptures. What scriptures? The scriptures concerning him, right? Notice the next word. "And he said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the third day. 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Where is... So the Old Testament spoke of Jesus' suffering, his death, burial, and resurrection. And the scripture said that remission of sins, repentance and remission of sins will be spoke. Where is repentance and remission of sins taught? In the church. So we see just by a few verses in Luke, by our master in the last part of Luke for his ascension, he says that even the church was in the mind of God, even in the Old Testament. Okay? So there we have that. Now, objections. Objection to the... Is everybody caught up? Okay. Objections to that view is they begin with the decree mentioned in the book of Nehemiah. Once again, we pointed out in Isaiah 44 and 45 that it was... The decree to build the city was with Cyrus. Also, they missed the cross by a week. The cross was in 29-30 AD, and they have it in 38 AD. They have the Messiah cut off within the 69 weeks. They have Messiah cut off within the 69th week, and the text clearly states that he was cut off after the 69th week, after the 7 and 62. They take the position that God's prophetic cross clock stopped at the crucifixion of Jesus. And then the church age is introduced. And once again, most of them take the position that the church age was an afterthought. And they teach God's prophetic clock stopped and will not begin again until the rapture, where the church will be received up into heaven. Only ungodly will be left. There will be no church. There will be no Holy Spirit. There will be only the ungodly left. Until the time that Jesus, the Antichrist comes, he breaks the covenant, and then Jesus will come and defeat the Antichrist, and then he will establish his 1,000-year reign here upon this earth. Now, it's important to understand that during the time between the rapture and the coming of Christ, there is no preaching of the gospel, and yet they have a position that there will be some that will be converted. How I do not know. But it's also interesting to understand that When Christ sets up his 1,000-year reign here on earth, he will bring back the Old Testament sacrifices. He will bring back the priesthood and all the things that were under the Mosaic Constitution. If the Old Testament priesthood is brought back during the 1,000-year reign, where's our salvation? For the blood of bulls and goats cannot what? Take away sins. So you can see a whole lot of flaws in their teaching. But this is what they believe. So the
1,000-year reign, that's a literal.
To them, yeah, a literal 1,000 years. Yes. That'll be set up over in Jerusalem. Book of Revelation. And it's interesting. Now let's turn to, seeing how we're talking about that, turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. That's an interesting point, because this is something, when you really jump into the book of Revelation, you see. Let's just pick up in verse 4. Beginning in verse 4 of Revelation 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worship not the beast, neither his image, and receive not the mark on their forehead and upon their hand. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years should be finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. Over these the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, notice in this text, it never says how long Christ is going to reign. It only says that the saints will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Everybody see that? So it never even says 1,000 years reign of Christ. So there's another mark against their doctrine. It only talks about the reign of those who are in the first resurrection. Of course, there's only one resurrection, so that lets you know this is symbolic anyway. But it gives the saints assurance that no matter if they die in the faith or for the faith, they are God's people and God will take care of them. But it never says in this section of Scripture that Jesus is reigning 1,000 years. It only says that the souls of them that are a part of the first resurrection, the saints, they reign with him 1,000 years. Now, in saying that, we remember that the book of Revelation is a symbolic book. And the number 1,000 just means completeness. It doesn't mean a literal 1,000 years. But that's where they get their doctrine. All right. Now, if we'll go back to Daniel chapter 9, and like I've pointed out several times before, Daniel and Revelation go hand in hand. Daniel will help you understand the book of Revelation. So the clock will start at the beginning of the 70th seven, the prophetic clock. It hasn't ticked since the crucifixion of Jesus. So we've been in limbo since then during this church age business. At the rapture, the clock will start again. And then we'll have the 3.5 years. Also, they teach that the one who causes the end of the sacrifices and oblations is the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist. He is the one who makes a covenant with the people. And we'll find out that that's an error of doctrine too. Now,
as we look over this stuff, I know there's a whole lot of scribbling up there. I thought about using the wall, but I didn't want to paint it again. So anyway, keep in mind the time frame of the chronological and the non-chronological, of the chronological view. In this chronological view, you have two camps. You have the premillennialist and you have the non-millennialist. Each, in their view, takes a day for a year view. They take it literally. We've pointed out the problems. Now, it's really too early to go into the next section, so we're going to stop here. Let me wrap this up. Next week, we're going to have an interruption. Can't be helped. We are going to have an interruption. And that's always difficult when you're in a passage of scripture like this. But don't be confused. We will go over this again briefly to bring it back into your mind. And then we'll put in the non-chronological view, the symbolic view. And once again, do not get confused, but if you notice on the last page, I've got a page that is basically blank and it says the vision. After we go through all the stuff, I'm going to summarize what the Bible teaches about the vision of the 77, so there will be no confusion. I know that this is a difficult passage of Scripture. I understand that. But it's something that you and I must get a hold of if we're going to be evangelists. I'm going to let you go 6 minutes early. If I keep you 6 minutes over next time, don't fuss at me. God bless each and every one of you.